Shalom and welcome again to today's edition of Seekers of Meaning, the podcast of Jewish Sacred Aging. I'm your host, Rabbi Richard Adress. In these podcasts, we hope to explore some of the issues that touch on our families, our communities, and ourselves as a result of the growing revolution in longevity. And you can contact us via our homepage, JewishSacredAging.com, or via our Facebook page, Jewish Sacred Aging on Facebook. And we welcome your comments either on the voicemail icon, which you can find on the website, or to me directly, rabbiadress@JewishSacredAging.com. And we welcome now to our Seekers of Meaning podcast microphone, Laura Knopp, massage therapist here in Southern New Jersey. And Laura, first of all, welcome. Thank you for coming. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
One of the major issues that keeps coming up in our work in Jewish Sacred Aging is, especially amongst baby boomers, is this real re-energized emphasis on health and wellness, mm-hmm. of staying healthy and really watching diet and exercise, et cetera, et cetera. In many ways, more than perhaps our kids' generation. So I've been wanting to explore this idea of massage therapy and what you do, because there seems to be a growing interest amongst friends of mine and colleagues of mine and our generation about some of the work that you're doing. So, but first of all, let me ask you the probably the obvious question: What led you into being a massage therapist?
Well, ever since I was a little girl, probably about 5 years old, I used to always love giving my dad back rubs. I even fought with a kid in my class in kindergarten to be the back scratcher while the teacher was reading us books. So it's always been a love of mine. And in sixth grade, we went on a class trip and all the kids went on that Gravitron amusement ride and they all got headaches, and including myself. And just by rubbing my temples, I took my own headache away. So one of my friends heard and she said, "Can you do that to me?" So then I rubbed her temples and then her headache was away. And there was a whole line of kids wanting to be healed by Laura's magic hands.
How old were you?
I was in sixth grade.
Wow.
So probably about 11 or 12.
It's a pretty advanced school. Where was this school?
I went to Bret Hart School in Cherry Hill.
Oh, in Cherry Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. In sixth grade, when I was in sixth grade, the idea of somebody rubbing my temples, no way, Jose. Anyway, but that's from your childhood.
Yeah, and I didn't know I was going to grow up and be a licensed massage therapist, but I did notice in my 20s, both my mom and my dad got really sick. My mom did not take very good care of herself and had high stress. I don't think ever got a massage in her life, never got her nails done, didn't do any kind of pampering for herself. Hmm. She maybe ate one meal a day, and if she was lucky, slept 4 hours a day. And she ended up having two strokes when I was 23 years old. So I was signed up to go to massage school about 6 months before this happened to her. And it was a blessing because I could do massage and Reiki and reflexology on her while she was in the hospital. Wow. And I was able to give my dad his first massage too, before unfortunately he passed away after 4 years of caring for her. So being in this business means more to me than just from when I was a little girl helping people, you know, heal a headache, but also just that taking care of themselves on a daily basis so that you don't die prematurely, you know, that you really pay attention to what's going on in your body so you can take care of things when they first start instead of waiting until it's too late, because you're more in tune with your body when you get massages.
So are you finding more people coming to you who, instead of just saying, "I'm going to get a massage so I can relax and get rid of tension," but are more open to the idea that the massage is part of a real regular health regimen, that the massage itself really speaks to the interconnectedness of all parts of the body and the mind and the soul? Because are you finding that? Are people more open to having that conversation with you? Or is it just give me the massage? I just want to relax. I'm under a lot of tension. This helps me to relax. Thank you very much.
No, I definitely see a huge increase in people getting massages for more than just, you know, being pampered or just to relax. People are recognizing the benefits of massage for helping with all kinds of pain and post-surgical tightness and getting rid of scar tissue. And I've noticed some from when I first began back in 2006, almost 13 years ago, there was more people then that were just kind of coming, you know, as a gift for their birthday or for Mother's Day and looking at it as being pampered. But I feel like people now are, their minds are shifting to look at it more as a therapeutic benefit and to come regularly so that they're not waiting until their body's screaming for a massage and they can actually enjoy the massage more because they don't wait 6 months or a year before their next massage.
Can you tell things happening inside the body by when you massage a person and you're touching them? Can you intuit, or are there tips or points that say, there may be something wrong more than just this person has under stress?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I do use Reiki, which is a form of energy work, and you can feel in each chakra. There are 7 main chakras in the body.
What's a chakra?
So a chakra is an energy center in the body where energy spins.
Really?
And what we do is we store our emotions and our life experiences in the chakras. And for example, in the heart chakra, let's say we just lost someone really close to us. You know, obviously that brings a lot of heartache with it. And if we don't allow our emotions to be processed, it can be stored in the heart chakra. And if you notice when you're really upset, you might cave into yourself and your shoulders come forward and you're like protecting your heart. So even though it's an emotional thing that you're going through, your body physically reacts to it. And I think that when I massage people, I'm not only feeling their physical self, but I'm feeling their energetic self as well. To the point that sometimes I've worked on a complete stranger just for the first time and I don't know anything about them, and I'll put my hands over their heart and be in that energy, and tears will just start to stream from my face because it's the tears that they're not allowing themselves to process.
Wow. There's 7 energy centers in the body?
Yes. So the 7 centers, starting from the bottom, would be the root chakra is the first chakra, which is really where we feel the sense of security. It's, do we have a place to live? Are we financially secure? Are we taken care of on all levels that we need to survive? Do we have enough food? The next level is just right below our belly buttons, which is the sacral chakra. And that is our sexual chakra and our chakra for relationships. Our third chakra is right above the belly button, which is the solar plexus chakra. And that is our feelings of self-worth and our self-confidence. And it's funny because I used to be a lacrosse goalie in high school. And my coach used to tell me to take my lacrosse stick and tap it right there on the solar plexus. Wow. And I didn't know about chakras back then, but I knew that it gave me more confidence. And I'm like, I'm going to get this ball when they shoot at it. And as I got into the massage and body work and learned about the chakras, I thought, well, how interesting that is that I tapped my solar plexus. But moving on up from the solar plexus, we have our heart chakra, which is obviously right where our heart is. And then above that, we have our throat chakra. And our throat chakra can get blocked if, like, we're someone who can't really speak up for ourselves or if we have trouble speaking our truth. And then we have, moving up, we have our third eye, which is right between our eyebrows, a little bit above that. And that's where we get our intuition. And when you have your eyes shut and you can visualize, that's kind of using our third eye. And the 7th chakra is our crown chakra on top of our head. And that's our connection to God, to source, to spirit. And all the chakras communicate with one another. So if you think about it, like water flowing in a faucet, but if there's a block somewhere, it's going to affect the whole flow.
And so, I mean, it's fascinating because people do feel tension or blockages or depression or whatever, you know, the appropriate word, various parts of their body. So that's linked in your understanding and the chakra and the Reiki to emotion or lack thereof, or the withholding of emotion, or the repression of certain feelings?
Yes. And it, something I read before is emotion stands for literally energy in motion. So emotions are actually energy, and we want to keep them in motion. So that means we don't want to stuff our emotions down. And when we stuff them down, they affect our chakras.
So, and by the massage, by you can, through this process of Reiki, really intuit by touch people's repression of emotions?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I can definitely sense it intuitively and just by feeling their body physically. And by combining both the Reiki and the physical touch of massage together, it's really powerful, combining the two.
We're speaking with Laura Knopp, a massage therapist, licensed massage therapist here in Southern New Jersey, really about the health and wellness components, because as we've been talking, so many of our generation and others are really discovering or rediscovering the validity and power of massage for psycho-spiritual health in many ways. And you find a lot of baby boomers coming to you, people in their 50s, 60s, 70s?
Yeah, I would say probably almost half, if not more, of my clients are probably in their 50s, 60s, and even early 70s.
You combine meditation, right, sometimes? Or you do meditation, and is it linked to the massage therapy? Is it an outcome? How do you interpret or use or make use of meditation within your practice?
So I do have group meditations, both for children as well as adults, on a monthly basis. I don't incorporate it at this time in a massage session, but I offer it in the evenings once a month to children and once a month to adults. And the idea is the same. Massage gets us into a state of relaxation and meditation. So the more that we can be in that state on a regular basis and learn how to get ourselves there without relying on a massage therapist or another person, the better your massage, the outcome of your massages is going to be, if you know how to reach that space more easily. I find some clients do have a hard time relaxing, letting go, to stop talking on the massage table as much as I ask them, you know, just to be quiet and let your thoughts go. Some people have trouble. So what I started doing in the massage sessions is starting them out with facial reflexology, which is there's nerve points on the face. And what it does is it completely slows down the nervous system, and it takes us out of that fight or flight, you know, that we get when we're constantly on computers and constantly on our cell phones and go, go, go. And those clients I find that are people who have a hard time relaxing during a massage, if we start with the facial reflexology, they go right into that meditative state because I'm working on those nerve points. And I'm also working on their face, so it's kind of hard to talk right while someone's working on your face. But before I know it, within less than 5 minutes, they're snoring. So then they're really open to receive the massage after that. And then it's just been a way that I can really calm down those clients that have a hard time just letting go.
You mentioned the meditation groups that you do for kids. I gotta explore that a little bit with you, because it's fascinating to me that when you say kid, what ages? All ages? I mean, teenagers or?
Well, I've had children as young as three, two and a half, and three.
Really?
That was a little too young.
Wow.
So I really highly recommend starting at about age 4 to 5.
Really?
And the 5-year-olds up until the teenagers come. Like, I've had kids probably about 15 and 16-year-old come with their little brothers and sisters that are like 9, 10, or 11. The kids' meditation is wonderful because I feel that kids the same age are growing up and going, like, my son was maybe 2 years old when the iPad came out, and they know more about computers than I do. But all of that blue light from the computer screens and the phone screens, it really gets our nervous systems excited. And it's like they're in a constant state of excitement and they really don't know how to shut it off because that's all they've ever known. So in a kids meditation, we focus a lot on the breath, which with any meditation, we do that. But having them put their hands on their belly and making sure they understand about taking a deep breath all the way down into their abdomen so that when they breathe in, their hands rise. And then when they breathe out, their hands lower. And, you know, you can tell some kids will relax very easily and other kids are, you know, fidgeting all over the place. And I find that the parents that are with them, because the parents are welcome to come in the meditation with them, will want them, oh, sit still, lay down. But it's okay. Whatever, as long as the kid is in that environment with the peace and calm, they eventually get there. Just might take some kids longer than others.
So, I mean, with the tremendous amount of pressure that a lot of the teenage high school students are in right now, and to succeed and to, you know, to be really motivated and get the extra things and this all for a variety of different reasons. Are you finding that for teenagers, high school students, the meditation really helps? Are they open to it?
I've only had a few high school students come right now because it's been more, like I'd say, like 5 to 12 year olds.
Really?
And then some high school students have come because their little siblings have come. But it's something that I'm thinking about offering for also high school students and keeping it separate from the younger kids, because they would need more of an adult meditation than the little kids. I try to keep it a little bit more fun, a little bit more storytelling for them. But I think it's really important for teenagers with all the stress that they have on them, like you said, to do well in school and to do well in sports and the constant busy schedule, that I think it would be very beneficial for teenagers. And they are looking for a way, an outlet, you know, to get out all this anxiety in them. And unfortunately, I think that's why, you know, we have such problems with the drugs and the opioids and all that. And meditation is a great tool to help with that, to relieve that anxiety and to make them feel more connected, because that's what I feel people are looking for when they use drugs to numb themselves out. You don't have to numb yourselves out. You're searching for more of a connection.
I want to just go back to something you alluded to before with the little kids. It's your position, and I imagine you've read more about this than I have, that the screen time, the impact of the electronics coming out of the screen, whether it's a phone or a computer, does have a deleterious effect on a kid. I mean, it's not good. It changes their behavior.
Yeah, I've actually read there's been a lot of research on like video game use and the cell phones and the blue light coming from the cell phones. And I've even read that like sleeping with having the cell phone in your bedroom with you, even if it's not, you know, the screen's not on, is really detrimental to your health over time.
Really?
And if you think about it, all those electronics are made of energy, but so are we. So anything that's like electronic that's around us and in our field is going to affect our field, even if it's just a little bit. But if it's a little bit every single day, it adds up to a lot. And kids, because they just came into the world not that long ago, are more sensitive. Their energy fields are even more open than ours are.
You have a website before we move on. If somebody wants to, you know, touch base with you, you know, to learn more about your practice, et cetera, how do they do that?
So my website is massagebylaura.net. And I do have a Facebook page as well, which is Massage by Laura.
The power of massage, going back to some of the work that we do in Jewish Sacred Aging, I'm starting to see a lot more people more open to the use of massage therapy for two very critical times of life. For example, Alzheimer's and dementia patients,
mm-hmm.
and also issues around end of life. And we do some work with hospice and with hospice patients. I'd like you to, if you could just comment on those two, the power or the use of massage with people dealing with dementia or Alzheimer's, as well as, you know, end of life situations.
Okay, so my mother now, because of her two strokes, is living in an assisted living, and she actually lives in the dementia and Alzheimer's part, the memory care unit of the assisted living. And massage benefits those with Alzheimer's greatly because it improves their memory. It improves their sense of well-being. It actually increases the amount of oxytocin in our body, which is the bonding hormone, which they don't get a lot of touch. When someone has Alzheimer's and dementia, they're lacking touch, and touch is huge. So the oxytocin levels go up, the dopamine and serotonin, the feel-good hormones go up, and also our endorphins increase, which are our natural painkillers. So people with Alzheimer's and dementia, it helps them with not being depressed. It helps with any pain, and it also does help to improve their memory. And as far as the end-of-life care and hospice, that's actually something I've been looking into as far as giving back, because I know a lot of hospice places will offer Reiki, and it's they get have volunteers do Reiki on people who are crossing over. And there's just so much fear in people who are getting ready to go to the other side, and sometimes they have a really hard time of letting go. So massage, and especially Reiki, I feel on that time of life when you're crossing over, is really, really important to feel so supported and loved while you're at the end of your life and moving on to the next life.
How does that work? In all honesty, I mean, the idea of, you're talking about the massage and energy, and we're energy, and as one's life ebbs and ends, that energy, so use the candle imagery, which is from the Jewish tradition, the candle begins to flicker out. So if massage is something that taps into that energy, how does that work in helping someone pass? Could you just talk to me a little bit about, because I'm just...
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is when someone is at the end of their life and they have fear because they don't know what exactly to expect, having somebody touch you and you feel supported, and also feel working on somebody's energy and helping them to release the fear through the energy work and move it through their body.
So it's a releasing of the fear type of a thing.
Releasing through the fear, giving them support, and helping them feel a sense of calm and peace. And it helps them to transition into the next world. And I feel very blessed, as hard as it was to be in the presence of my father as his soul left his body, because before it was even pronounced by the nurses and the doctors, I felt that.
Really?
And to feel that, as heart-wrenching as it was just a beautiful experience, because not everybody that's passing away wants to be in the presence of those they love. Sometimes they purposely wait until those they love left, and then they pass peacefully by themselves.
So you felt, you're, in essence, to use our language too, you felt your father's soul depart?
Yeah, I did.
What was that like?
I did. It was almost a beautiful thing because I knew he was in a lot of pain. He had a gallstone that led to pancreatitis. And so it was a relief in that, especially it was probably within 1 minute of taking him off of life support. So it was a validation to me that we made the right choice for him to take him off, that machine was keeping him alive. But as beautiful as it was like someone tore my own heart out, because my dad was like my best friend. But it was just powerful to me, because to feel that, you know, like when somebody walks into a room, you don't even have to look and see the person walking into the room to know that they walked into the room. You can tell if someone really happy just walked into a room, or someone that's like was just in a huge traffic jam and is pissed off walks in the room. You can feel their energy. And that's what it was. It was like I felt my dad's energy rise up. Like I felt it leave, and it was no longer like with me. So that's what the part that was so heart-wrenching, but at the same time was so beautiful, because I know that he was no longer suffering.
You believe that people transmit that energy I mean, like a transmitter, that we are transmitters, we transmit energy.
Yes, yeah. I really, really do. And I actually think there's a book by Louise Hay called You Can Heal Your Life. And there was a guy I went to high school with that just recently got a heart transplant. And I asked him, I said, I'm curious to know, because in that book, You Can Heal Your Life, a boy got a heart from another boy who had just passed away. And the boy that received the heart became obsessed with white Power Ranger. But his parents thought, our son's never, you know, seen Power Rangers. So how does he know about this white Power Ranger? And they were able to meet the parents of the son, the donor. And it turned out that that boy loved the white Power Ranger. So that just tells you right there that there's some kind of energy that stays even in an organ and going into another person, that energy stuck with them.
It's a little, no, it's not really off to subject that much, but you believe in the spirit world?
I definitely, without a doubt, believe in the spirit world. I've had some unbelievable experiences. Number one, in giving massages with people who were clients that have passed on, that gave messages through me to their spouses.
So you're giving a massage to somebody, and their spouse who had died sends a message to the spouse on your massage table through you? Is
yeah.
that what you're saying?
It has happened to me. It's like, I don't feel that I have any control over it, but it's happened a few times. And I the only way that I can explain it is that I'm in such a meditative state. So I'm like an open portal for a spirit to communicate with me. And I'm sitting there trying to feel the energy and work on the energy in my client. So at the same time that I'm open to receiving and helping the person on my table, the spirit, that's like an open door for them to come in and give a message to their loved one. And one time I felt kind of silly because I was getting the message, you are enough. You are enough, to my client who lost his brother to lung cancer. And I didn't want to say it because I felt like, oh, here I am giving this motivational speaker a motivational speech. And then when I told him that, he said, I was afraid that I couldn't fill my brother's shoes when he passed away and I was taking over his business. And he took my hand and he looked me in the eye and he said, you are enough.
Wow.
And that was exactly what was coming through to me.
Do you ever get a situation where you feel something either through the Reiki and or through a message as a portal, but you are afraid to say it to the person on the massage table that you're giving the massage to because it may, you don't know whether how they'll receive it, or it may be upsetting, or it really is potentially bad news? You ever had that happen?
Well, I definitely had some fear in the beginning when I first started receiving messages, which was probably around 2010 or 2011, because it really brought up my fear of what people think of me, or what this person might think of me, or am I going to scare them, or are they going to think I'm crazy? Yes, that has happened. I did get a message that one of my clients had cancer, and I wasn't going to tell him that he had cancer. This was actually my first experience with getting a message. And I saw a vision of him in a wheelchair with all these IVs and looking like a cancer patient. And luckily, he got diagnosed 5 days later, because if it was any longer than that, I would have felt really guilty to have received that message and not given it to him and his wife. But that was pivotal in my life experience, because that vision that I had, I thought I was imagining this. And I thought to myself, I'm a big believer of the law of attraction, and what you focus on, you're going to receive. And, you know, so focus on positive. And here I am working on somebody and seeing him look like a cancer patient. And I thought, don't think like this. You don't want to create this. But then when I looked back at it, I thought to myself, I wasn't thinking it. It was actually being given to me. The information was given to me. So that helped increase my belief in whatever messages that I get. But I did start having a bunch of clients come to me asking me for messages. And like I said, I don't at this time have control over if I get a message or not. It seems to only happen when it's absolutely necessary for the person. They need some kind of healing. And if they ask for it, I don't know if it's that pressure of being asked affecting my energy. And I can't, because I feel like this pressure to perform for them rather than just being an open vessel.
Right, right. Changes the dynamic.
Yeah. So I just let it kind of naturally happen when it does. But I notice this subtle difference between when it's a message from spirit and when it's my own thought. And it's a very fine line between the two.
We're speaking with Laura Knopp, massage therapist here in Southern New Jersey, about some of the just unbelievable experiences and the value, the health and wellness value of massage. And once again, before we conclude, the website, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, Laura.
So my website is www.massagebylaura.net.
So last question, an easy one. Talk to me a little bit about the power of touch. There's so much, and we posted a bunch of this stuff recently on the website and the Facebook page about this growing fear of isolation. And there have now been studies about coming about the power of touch, what you do with massage. Can it transform? I mean, there are a person, you've mentioned that it's healthy, it releases energy, it's calming. But what is the power of being able to be in touch, literally, physically in touch with another human being in this society, which is so siloed?
Yeah, I believe now more than ever, the power of touch is so healing, especially for people that, like you said, are so isolated. And I feel like people are so just into themselves and into what they want. And when you touch somebody else, you're not just touching their physical body, but you're touching their spirit, you're touching their emotions. Like just by one touch, if someone just puts their hands on your shoulder, you feel supported, you feel loved. And I think they even did some studies on babies that weren't given touch and how that affected them into adulthood. And there was no good things. Like our bodies crave touch and they need to be touched. And the sad thing is, as we get older, we get touched less.
Right.
And that's, I think, we really need to get touched more as we get older.
It's a good place to end. So thank you very much, Laura Knopp, massage therapist here. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Lots of interesting, especially that the seven chakras. It is a lot of parallel in many ways to our tradition. But anyway, another time.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn about those chakras.
No, thank you. Thank you.
You're
to all
welcome.
Of you, thank you again for joining us on today's edition of Secrets of Meaning, the podcast of Jewish Sacred Aging. And a reminder that we welcome comments and contact at our homepage, jewishsacredaging.com, or to me, rabbiaddress@jewishsacredaging.com. And we invite you to visit our Jewish Sacred Aging Facebook page. Secrets of Meaning is produced by Steve Lubetkin and recorded at the studios of Lubetkin Global Media here in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. We thank you again for joining us and look forward to greeting you on the next Secrets of Meaning, the podcast of Jewish Sacred Aging. I'm your host, Rabbi Richard Address. Thank you and shalom.